Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Cynthia Kay from San Diego.
All right. I'm Cynthia. I'm an alcoholic. Well, normally this would probably be the slowest 10 minutes of your life, but I had an energy drink before I left the house, so we should be good. No, I'm just kidding. You know, let's see. I want to thank Randy for randomly drawing me from the basket. when he called me to ask me to share, this is the kind of alcoholic that I am. So when he called me to ask me to share, he left me a message, and I thought, sure. You know, I hope he doesn't want me to be the 10-minute speaker, because I have way too much time to be the 10-minute speaker. And, oh, it gets better. It gets better. And so then I thought, oh, my God, well, what if he wants me to be the 45-minute speaker? What am I going to say? You know, how am I going to talk about myself for that long? And so we left messages back and forth. And, you know, of course, the next conversation that I had with him is, you know, I hope that you're not upset that we asked you to only be the 10-minute speaker. And, you know, because some people might take that. And I'm like, oh, no. As long as I can be of service, that's what matters. Shit. So then I got off the phone, you know. So I thought, well, I'm just not going to tell him how much time I have. So my sobriety date is June 7th, 1994. And because I know, right? Impressive. And because this is my ego. I have to get my ego on the table because that's exactly where this was all coming from. And, you know, then I thought, well, you know, traditionally in the old days, women were supposed to wear skirts. So I'm just going to get up there and wear pants. And as a matter of fact, I'm actually only wearing pants tonight because I realized that I hate nylon, so I don't have a lot of skirts that I can wear in cold weather. So I feel like a real jerk for getting up here in pants after saying that. But that's all my ego, you know. And today I still have to keep that in check, which is why I had to share that and just put it on the table, because I'm certainly not exempt as much as I would like to tell you that I am from that kind of behavior. And, you know, I got sober. Well, you know, I was born a drunk. I'm one of those people who believe that. You know, I was born an alcoholic, and a lot of my behaviors hit me before the alcohol actually did. So I started drinking probably when I was about 12. I'd already had a taste of alcohol before that, but I started drinking alcoholically when I was about 12. And, you know, going to parties, the older crowd, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it was real fun. I lived in New Hampshire. We partied in the woods. And, you know, my dad was the chief of police, so I was always on the run. And, and you know, my dad was the kind of cop who, when he caught me shoplifting once, threatened to throw me in jail himself. So, you know, he was not the man to mess around with. And I skated through that. You know, I actually did pretty well in school. I'm always reminded up here of smoking pot because my mouth always gets dry. It's like cotton mouth. And, so, yeah, drugs are part of my story. Oh, disclaimers, drugs are part of my story. Thank God they got me here a lot faster. Probably I would have been on the slow road to death if it had just been alcohol, I think, for me. So I'm fortunate to be here today, I think, as a result of that experience. But, you know, I actually went to college before things started to go really bad. I got around a little bit in school, and so the college seemed to be a little small for me, Long Island, I don't know. And so I had to leave. But, you know, the thing that happened was that I lost my hopes and my dreams at that point. You know, when I was in high school, I thought I had this timeline. You know, I didn't have the five-year plan. I had the rest of my life plan. And maybe I got a little ahead of myself. I don't know. But as soon as alcohol took over, my hopes and my dreams went by the wayside. And, you know, when I got sober, I was fortunate that, you know, I went to meetings where there were other young people, but I was still young enough to feel too young, and I was still young enough to wonder if I was ready to do this for the rest of my life, because, of course, at that point, I wasn't taking it one day at a time. And what I can tell you is that what I lost was everything internally. I didn't have a house to lose. I didn't have a family to lose. Well, I did, but, I mean, I didn't have a significant other or children or anything like that, and what I lost was on the inside. You know, for me, recovering from that is, you know, has been my journey thus far in sobriety. And I got sober in Atlanta, Georgia. I had been on a real entertaining binge, and I didn't walk into these rooms because I thought I was an alcoholic. You know, I walked into these rooms because I wanted to save a relationship, and I didn't really think alcohol was my problem. You know, I knew that drugs were a little bit of a problem, so, you know, I kind of quit that a little bit, and I came in the back door through Al-Anon, and I used to, you know, we used to have Al-Anon meetings side by side, the AA meetings, and the AA meetings, they were always cheering and clapping and having fun, and my Al-Anon meeting was not like that at the time, And, you know, so I asked my significant other at the time what was happening in there, and he said, oh, it's an anonymous program. I can't tell you. Didn't appreciate that very much. So, of course, then I had to go to some open AA meetings to check it out, and I always walked out of there thinking, God, you know, I really get a lot more out of that than those Al-Anon meetings. I just can't understand why. But, you know, I loved alcohol, and I had a friend when I got sober who'd been sober quite some time who said, you know, you really don't like the taste of alcohol. It's just the effect. And I thought, yeah, no, I really like the taste of alcohol. And that's still true for me today. He's like, oh, that'll pass. Yeah, no, I really still would probably like the taste of alcohol. I was not one of those people who just drank for the effect. I liked the taste as well as the effect. And, you know, fortunately for me, I don't know why, but I stuck around. Well, actually, I do know why. You know, suddenly for me, instead of going to bed at Sunday, you know, with my jaw wired shut pretty much, without my sunglasses, leaving the bar at 11 a.m. or whatnot, because, you know, bars pretty much were open 24 hours in Atlanta, I was getting up in the morning with my sunglasses, feeling rested, feeling appreciative of where I was at and going to an AA meeting. And that's really, I think, what kept me here, you know. My life started to get better slowly but surely. And sometimes that was because I made an effort, and sometimes it wasn't. You know, I had a real black belt sponsor when I first got here, thank God, because I'm a stubborn Polack, and that's the only way it could have gone for me. And, you know, I followed some of her suggestions, not all of them. I think we interpreted things a little bit differently sometimes. And so there were some things that I didn't do, but fortunately what I did was I kept going to meetings, and I got involved with people in program, you know, and I started hanging around with people in program. So slowly some of the things that I wasn't really ready to change yet started to change as a result of me hanging around. You know, I worked the steps with her and tried to have a better life and become a better person. And, you know, I moved a little over a year in sobriety, and I hit an emotional bottom. And I was back to doing all the same behaviors with no alcohol or drugs. And that's why I call it an emotional bottom, because it was raw for me. There was nothing to cover it up anymore. You know, it was just me and my behavior that I was left with, and I hated who I was, and I hated looking in the mirror. And that's how I felt when I drank and used, and that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be like that. So I did what I had been taught, which was go get involved in AA. You know, and I was hanging around a few meetings here and there, but mostly, you know, my restaurant crowd that I worked with. And, you know, I didn't have enough of those good influences in my life. So what I did was I went and became a door greeter at a very large Sunday morning meeting, which became my home group, and it was my saving grace. And that was really my formal introduction also into service work. And I always like to talk about service work because it has been my burning bush in sobriety for me, really. It has been the guiding light that has driven me, I think, on the days where I didn't want to come to meetings or when I didn't want to go to a committee meeting especially. It has taught me how to be part of a whole, you know, and to, again, put my ego aside, because when I put something out there as an idea and nobody else likes it, it's a little tough for me to take. And so, you know, fortunately being part of service work helped me to do that. And, you know, one of the greatest joys, I think, you know, that I have ever experienced is, of course, being a sponsor, because it was like this light bulb went off. As soon as I started sponsoring someone, I was like, oh, so my sponsor really didn't mind it when I would call her. Oh, I get it now. And, you know, it was just the full circle for me, and it was just really gratifying. It also enabled me to get out of myself enough to care about other people and to really see the rewards of that. I really have to see things plain as day and have concrete evidence. You know, and I have a good faith in my higher power today, and that's been tried over the years. I've gotten bored with meetings and gotten away from that, and I've gotten in over my head with service work and totally wanted to get away from that a little bit, so it ebbs and flows as everything. And, you know, today I know the difference between serenity and complacency. Today I know the difference between serenity and boredom, which is great because, you know, if I'm bored in sobriety, then there's an opportunity for growth around the corner. So, you know, today I'm serene, and I try and have balance in my life, and I'm grateful that I can actually figure out what that means for me today. Sobriety has given me the ability to say no. It's given me the ability to know who I am. When I got here, I was whatever you wanted to be. If you liked something, I liked it. You know, it didn't really matter. I just wanted to fit in. And I remember what it was like to figure out that it was okay for me to express how I really felt, you know, how I really saw things, or music that I didn't like that you did. I mean, simple things like that have really shown me, you know, just the taking the little steps have really shown me how to be a better person and how to treat myself with respect and kindness. And as a result of that, I get to treat other people that way too. You know, today, my relationship with my higher power is something I really try not to analyze too much. For a long time, I did. I tried to find out what was God, what kind of religion was I, you know, what's God's will. I mean, I had all these questions. And, you know, fortunately today, I still have questions, but today I know I don't need the answers. And that's really serene thinking for me. That's really a place of peace for me, because my higher power changes on a daily basis sometimes. You know, it changes from time to time, and my concept or where I find him or her or it changes also. And I realize that it doesn't matter. What matters to me is that I have one. What matters to me is that I believe in something, and when I go to bed at night, I've done the best job that I can. And that sounds really cliche and all that stuff, but it's true for me. If I can go to bed at night and feel peace, then I'm okay, you know. I mean, I hated that thing, oh, if I go to bed and I didn't have a drink, I'm a miracle, I'm a success, you know. But, you know, that's actually, you know, kind of corny and true for me. And, you know, I'm grateful to not have to worry. Thank you. I'm grateful to not have to worry. I'm grateful to not have to worry about where I am in the morning when I wake up tomorrow, and who I'm with and where my car is at and what might have happened in between the time I last remember and the time I got there and woke up. So thank you very much. And I got it.